Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the episode of the How's Your Touch podcast with me, Peter. And as always, I'm joined by Matt. How are you doing, Matt?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, not bad, thank you. We're on Zoom again today, guys. So sorry if the audio is a little bit canny or not. Both busy with work, so kind of fit it in within our schedule. Hopefully, it's still pretty good and you enjoy the show. A lot to get through again today, as always. Loads of action across both SUPL leagues. We've got new champions. We've got new teams coming up to the SUPL one. Big results in the relegation battles. Lots of goals. Great for the title in the SUPL one as well. Lots of other good action just in general that we'll chat about. So we'll be right back and we'll get started to cover up the games for the SUPL one. The first game I wanted to cover from the SUPL one was the Friday night game at Orium between Hearts and Hibs. Big Edinburgh derby. He's got battered.
It's the worst performance since the nil-nil against Dundee United. It was bad. It was really bad. It was, when you're playing against 10 for 70 minutes and you're having less shots than the opposition, really not good. Obviously, caveat of injury issues that Hearts don't have to deal with because their players don't have to go to international duty because Hearts aren't good enough to go on international duty. So obviously, I don't know how fit Jordan Bochum was because she started on the bench. I think the drop off to Leah Tweedy is quite large. I think it was noticeable. We had some chances that we probably should have put away, but yeah, Jess Husband really annoyed me.
Yeah, I want to talk about Jess Husband. She's our team of the week, and like also was like Hearts is like player of the match as well. Like 17 years old. I know you said that she's very annoying.
Yeah, I mean, we kept trying to go down the right. She was playing left wing back and just didn't get anywhere, no matter who was on that. I think on that right hand side, I think Grant Scott must have tried three or four different players, whether it was Doran Barr, whether it was Leishman, Rosie Livingston was there for a bit. Jordan Bochum drifted out onto that side for a bit. Kirsty Morrison played over that side for a bit. Like everyone went onto that side and no one got anywhere, really. And obviously, like part of that is the centre backs behind her and the Hearts defensively, like it was so obvious how good they are, which again begs the question to how like neither of the two of them, the two Scottish ones, have been called up for Scotland. But
Yeah, it's a lot about Scotland too much, so.
yeah, they were defensively they were really good. Yeah, and we were just bad. We were just, to be honest, I don't know how much of it was them being good and how much of it was just like we were awful.
Yeah,
Like
I mean,
we got into the final third and it was like everyone forgot how to play football.
I'm trying to make you dwell on it too much because that sounds like you've had a
Well,
bad week.
and I feel maybe I'm getting a bit entitled, but I would like a bit more atmosphere.
Oh,
Like,
right, okay, one thing at a time.
on Hearts' YouTube channel, it might be their microphone because their microphone was quite quiet and quite muffled. And it was on the side of the coaches, not on the side of the fans. And they didn't have a scoreboard, which also another complaint that I have for Hearts. Maybe, just don't be so tempo, really.
Yeah,
Like,
basically.
how hard is it to have a scoreboard? But yeah, it was a bit quiet and you could very clearly hear both sets of coaches'
Yeah,
frustrations with
well.
various things going on, especially the Hearts ones when they had a player that wasn't allowed to go back on because their nose was bleeding, and then Kathleen McGovern obviously getting sent off, which Hearts did not seem to believe was a red card. Just, it's good to see it sell out. That's really impressive and obviously progress, but it would be nice if there was a bit more oomph.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll step at a time. Fill out crowds. Next time you sell it out, make it loud as well. Yeah. Another big game in the FUPL one. We had Aberdeen staging a pretty impressive comeback against the Hamilton Accies.
2-1. It was 1-0, 1-all,
Yeah.
2-1.
2-1. Yeah. So 2-1 down. I think it was half time, and then come back partly due to Bailey Hutchison, who's proven time and again that she should play Scotland. But anyway. But yeah, really a lovely little backheel goal to round off the comeback, which is pretty fun.
Yeah, good inventiveness. It was good though. It was really good, and it was smart from her to do it instead of trying to swivel around and. She probably would have been off balance and missed. But no, it was really good. I mean, I think Aki's did really well, and it's Josie Gaillard's 100th appearance for them. She scored again because she always does. And like they're showing a lot of fight. I just fear that that fight is kind of not going anywhere for them now. Aberdeen didn't need to win that game, and Aki's kind of showed the fight. They went 1-0 up, they got drawn level, and then they go ahead again, and then they still fall off. And it's like, at some point, that fight is going to die down, and then it's going to be a case of whether or not they've managed to pick up those points over Dundee United. And at the moment, they're not picking up those points.
But yeah, saying Aki's like same with the United, like you're getting these close games and yet not able to go over the line. I mean, it's kind of been the reason why they're both stuck on 10 points, probably. Yeah, they got a lot of points to make up, or even just 1 point might help them out, to be honest with you. Because,
Yeah,
yeah,
well, it'll be the difference between them getting in the playoff or going straight down. because even though Spartans aren't in great form, you know, they've managed a post-split win, which is more than could be said of either of the other two.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Spartans, though, as well, I guess they just lost to Montrose, which was, they lost 2-1 to Montrose, which I didn't really look at too much, think much about, but only after the game, see the table, then I realised that game was actually probably, for Montrose especially, that was a massive for them. That's their, they're safe now, they're 12 points away from relegation. But yeah, 12 points away from relegation. They've taken the SCPL one pretty comfortably, I think, and they're looking pretty strong. Only 6 points away from Motherwell, so they could really put a push up for 8th, you know, which would be a mental first season for them. And then on the flip side for Spartans, you know, kind of kept thinking they were going to get safe, and I still do think they will be safe, but they just never seem to be able to get themselves away properly, which is, maybe it's nervousness from me, but it's just kind of looming there.
Yeah, I think, I mean, we both thought they would sort of turn it on post-split like they did last season, and they haven't this time round.
Yeah.
They could have drawn this game, they had the penalty that was saved, and, you know, they should be doing better.
I think they have players to beat Dundee United and Accies, which is all they need to do, realistically. Mm-hmm. And they'll be safe.
Yeah, I think their biggest problem is they just aren't playing with any real quality, like, compared to what they should be doing. But, I mean, you'd have basically every team in the bottom set, but, like, in that game, they averaged, like I think it was something stupid, like a 40% pass accuracy or something. Crazy.
Yeah,
they do. They need to just get their basics right, and once they start doing that, they'll start picking up more points. I don't think we're. I'm not necessarily as surprised about Montrose. I'm not that surprised about Montrose, but they are also doing really well.
Yeah, I mean, Montrose have done very well this season. I guess I'm able to chat about it later on as well, but it kind of gives an indication of potentially how Queen's Park could do next year as well. But we'll chat about them. They deserve a bit of chat specifically for them later on. No, we also had again the SAPL one. We had Motherwell beating Dundee United 2-1. Good for them, like, winning the game at Fir Park. It's always nice. You're going to host it at your, like, main stadium to get a win. Hopefully there was, I'm not sure what the attendance was like, but, you know, hosting it at Fir Park is always fun.
It sounded good when they scored, and it looked all right in the pictures I've seen.
Yeah.
They actually announced.
Well, they did not announce the attendance, but I suppose it seemed pretty good. And, you know, winning the game at Fir Park is pretty sweet. There were two other games in the league. Not really that interesting.
Well, one of them was.
There was one, yeah. I mean, Celtic beat Thistle 5-0, which is pretty comfortable and a good win for them. But, yeah, more...
What happens when you play a striker at centre-back?
Yeah.
Brian or
yeah,
Ross, I guess?
No, Brian Graham's three-match ban is bizarre. Like, three-match ban for two yellow cards is crazy.
Yeah, it depends on what you said.
Yeah, because if you said something bad, it's a straight red card, really. Not two yellows.
I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like Brian, though.
It does. It does sound like Brian Graham.
But, yeah, regardless, that playing Carragher at centre-back was mad. But...
It's a wild thing. Gaelic
was very good in that game.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by the result. I will be honest, I think Thistle should be disappointed by how they have performed against the top three. They've not been the Thistle that we know, that they should be causing more problems because of the way they play. Mm-hmm. Like, it should cause more problems for teams that are better than you than it does for teams that are worse than you.
Not ended yet, but if they go a second year top six without winning a game post-split, I don't know, at some point
If they did, I think, and you're a team that is in the bottom six right now, I mean, you've got to be looking at that and going, like, how are we not there?
Yeah, we can do better than
that. You know, that's, I think that then you would be looking at them and going, top six for three consecutive years. If you're not going to win a game, like, you're probably not going to get there. But onto the actual big game.
Yeah, it's all just for retention numbers, key people.
The one that's caused all the reaction, won everything. And it was on Sky Sports, which is always fun. They have a scoreboard, Hearts, just saying. They can't get anything else right, but they've got a scoreboard. Before we talk about the game, I just want to talk about the halftime conversation on Sky Sports, because it did my head in. Here's a direct quote. Was Glasgow City had it easy for so long, and now the two teams from the men's game are going to take over. Sorry, one of those two teams hasn't even won a league title.
Yeah,
and
true.
Also, Glasgow City had it easy for so long. Well, then why have Hibs won so many fucking titles? You know, it's great. It's on a big TV channel, and it's, you know, getting loads of production value. Do even the mildest bit of research.
If you just look at the easy City win 13 in a row, you just go, it was easy. And, like, it wasn't, like, huge challenge. You know, there's more challengers now, but it's a bit, like, it's not fair to say there's never been a challenge. Like, Hibs pushed them so often.
Those are seasons when they only won the league. Because they beat Hibs. Like, that was the only time that Hibs lost.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, both teams were beaten apart from one game, yeah, and that would be the deciding one.
And, like, they weren't getting to every cup final.
5 years ago, we first thought that City would win one trophy a year, Hibs are winning two, so.
Yeah, they didn't have it easy. And also, the Celtic and Rangers are not taking over women. So, Glasgow City having a bad season. Like, that's it. And at the time that they were saying that, it was 1-1.
Yeah, and also,
it's even more bizarre. We can talk about the Old Firm taking over when they have won more trophies than Kilmarnock. Like, you know what I mean? That's the level where we're not at. Like, Rangers, if they win the title this season, are winning their second ever league title,
Yeah,
which,
and Celtic would be the
like,
first ever, yeah.
their investment recently has been amazing, and they've improved loads, and they are at the top of the game. They are not the biggest team in Scottish women's football, just on any metric. Getting this narrative that's not true, and it's annoying. And it
Yeah.
just, you know, Ian Crocker's great. He does his research. You can tell he does his research. He has a depth of knowledge, but you can tell he's not engaged.
Yeah, I think a big
And
selling point
I
of
think you can
the
tell that for basically everyone that is at that level commenting on Scottish women's football, is that they do their research, but they're not engaged. They're not actually there.
Yeah, I think that's one of the
Just.
bigger selling points of the SUPL is a third big club involved who can win the title. Everyone is like pretty competitive, even though there are some big squads here and there, but like this idea that it's just the old firm clubs run away with it is not very helpful in terms of, because it just is like, I mean, if I was not interested and then I went to look at the women's game and they said something of Rangers again, I don't think I'd be that interested. I mean, I would be
Yeah,
something fan if I was neutral.
especially saying that, as I say, especially saying it at halftime when it's one all, like when one of those
Yeah.
clubs hasn't even won a league title. Like, I'm sorry, it's just like really poor, and it annoyed me. Anyway, I wanted to get that off my chest because,
Fair enough. Yeah. This is what this podcast for is just our own catharsis, nobody else's.
But on the game,
Yes.
Leanne Ross got that wrong and
Yeah.
was really disappointed after the game and talking about how it wasn't good enough and all this. And it's like, well, that's what you were saying after
Yeah,
the
if it
Celtic
happens
game.
more than once, when does it become this is the level you're at the season? Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I think I've said this about Man City before, that it's a wee bit, I think, with them, like a struggle in the season when they go behind to like Celtic and Rangers, that there's this whole media narrative you mentioned around about them taking over that I think they kind of struggle with when they start to lose. For me, you know, Rangers are good, but it's a wee bit of a capitulation.
They fell apart after about the 80th minute. I mean, Joe Potter spoke after the game about Lizzie Arnott's goal being one that sort of like galvanized them. And
Yeah, that's
I
the main
really
thing.
think Glasgow City started the second half slightly better, but like they started the first half better. I mean, Michaela Moore had a chance, a header, free header from inside the 6 yard box, and she doesn't even get it anywhere near the goal, doesn't direct it towards the goal at all. So they could have been 1-0 up, and they had chances even before then. And then the penalty is debatable whether or not there's actually enough contact. I think there is. I think we've seen more ridiculous decisions than that in SWPL1. I think even the Kathleen McGovern red card is probably more debatable than
Yeah.
whether that. And I think it goes back to the squad. It's just not a squad that makes any sense. You know, when Fiona Brown goes off injured, and that's obviously heartbreaking. I hope it's not that bad.
It's like
You
media
know,
said when things kind
kills
of
the
go
vibes.
against them that they can necessarily control, such as Fiona Brown going off injured, it seems to just not there's not really like a like sort of second chance, second option or like a way to get a
That's what I
squad
mean. Well,
because you see the squad's kind of all over the place.
they bring on Lisa Forrest, and it's kind of like, well, that doesn't really make much sense. Like,
Yeah,
it's
it's a
not a like
bit
for
of
league sub, and
a
it's definitely not like same level. And Lisa Forrest is a really good young talent, but you know,
No, it's
it goes
different
back to
play
sort of
style, different, you know,
what
mentality in
sort
them.
of goes back to like, where's Corey Sullivan,
Yeah.
and whether or not, I mean, like, she might be injured. We don't know because no
Yeah,
one
who
communicates
knows?
anything.
Yeah.
You know, but even before, if Corey Sullivan, even when she was fit, she wasn't playing every week and didn't seem to be in favour that much. And I've seen quite a lot over the weekend of always, it's a Glasgow City, and maybe it's a Glasgow City problem, but I think they need to stop shopping in Mexico because it's not going well for them. You know,
Yes.
I just think their squad's just a bit mishmash and doesn't really make sense. And they need to take the summer to redo it and fix it a wee bit.
Because in terms of investment, they've got less than Rangers and Celtic, but it's not on its level. But for them to compete consistently in the next coming years, I think their recruitment needs to be like proper. Because
I think
Celtic
it
and
makes
Rangers, if
smart
Rangers
decisions.
showed it, Rangers just signed a whole bunch of players and it works. But like City will be able to do that, they'll have to go look elsewhere. But they need to be smarter about.
I don't think I don't think there's any sort of debate over whether or not City could go and sign a Rio Harvey. Like, that's not, you
But
know,
it's
we're
about
not
finding
we're,
it, you know,
Rangers and
actually what
Celtic
fits in.
Rangers and Celtic aren't spending loads of money and bringing in big name players.
No.
They're bringing in players that are out of contract, and they're being smart with it. They're identifying players that are going to fit the system, or that
Yeah.
the manager already knows, that are going to come in and make an impact instantly. Or it doesn't feel like it's that difficult to do, but City seem to be consistently making judgment calls on players that I would say aren't benefiting them. Or the players are of a high quality, and you can tell they're of a high quality. Because I do think Corey Sullivan's a really good player, but I don't think she fits what they want to do. So it kind of like you end up with a squad that is actually quite big, but with a lot of players that you're not really sure what you're doing with them. They probably are a little unlucky. Lizzie Arnott scores an absolute screamer. Chelsea Cornet scores with her,
Mars. Upper
which is
thigh,
quite
yeah.
funny. And then,
Mia
you know, Mia
McCauley is Mia
McAuley
McCauley,
scores for
so.
the season. And it was just a bit of a defensive mess. You know, they really struggled to do anything in midfield, which we said before the game. And it'll continue to be the case until they bring someone in to do that job, because until you have someone that is going to be your number six, or you have someone that's like a Rachel Rowe level number 10, you're not going to be able to get any midfield control, because you're going to constantly be fighting for the ball, especially when you only play, you know, two in there. So
yeah, I said last week about if City lost the game that they would be out of the title race, in my opinion. I still do think that. So I do think that's an out of the title race, because I don't see how they come back.
I didn't think they would be, but I think because of the performance being as poor as it was, and on top of the Celtic one, I think that they probably are. Because they just don't look like they're capable of taking those points. And if they're not capable of taking those points, then...
Because I mean, as the league is right now, Rangers are still top with 66 points ahead of Celtic. And then City are sitting on 59, which isn't really out of Champions League as well, which isn't really ideal for them.
I don't think it'll have a huge impact if it's just one season. Mm-hmm. The problem is when it becomes...
Three or four,
realistically. That's when it starts to hit, because then you start losing your reputation. At the moment, they could come third this season and their reputation's still intact.
And if they start to become a bit stranded in third, come like fodder for Hearts, Hibs, and Thistle, etc., and Aberdeen, you are looking to push on. They'll look at it, they won't get them. So
yeah, what they don't want is for Hibs and Hearts especially to start looking at them and thinking they're vulnerable. And then their spot can be taken, because I mean, we're not talking millions and millions of pounds in terms of funding. So it's not unrealistic to expect that Hibs and Hearts could easily afford to finance a team into a title race. And if they start seeing Glasgow City as vulnerable, that becomes a lot of a much more attractive thing to try and do. So yeah, I think one season's not a disaster, but they do need to get this summer and the summer after like right. And then they do have obviously the Linda Palalo money is still there. They didn't spend that yet. That was a record sale for the FWPL. So they aren't sat with an empty bank balance.
No, they're not sat, that's for sure.
They're sat on that. And I think that is something where that probably was just a bigger loss than we thought it was going to be. Because you didn't really see her contributing loads of goals and assists. But I do think she is a Rachel Rowe level player. Probably better than Rachel Rowe.
But I remember, was it Sadiku's first game? Second, and Mattel meant to have been sold, but suddenly started the game. But she like bossed that midfield last game, they beat Celtic pretty well that game, and she was, I thought she was shopping in a match at time, but she was one off a few that was like playing out of skin.
I think she potentially went because she was quite obviously as a playmaker, they kind of do sometimes, they go a bit unsung. And we always thought she looked really good and she was really tidy, but she never really didn't contribute many goals or assists. So it's kind of like, you know, is she just playing nice passes, or is she doing anything? And it turns out she was doing something. There's a reason that an NWSL club spent loads of money on her. But yeah, I think that was just a bigger loss than and that comes obviously mid-season and you don't replace her. And they brought in Fiona Brown, I guess, so that's where some of it will have gone. But that was a free signing, so it's not.
But yeah, so it's interesting to see what will happen with them this season and next. Yeah, lots of action, as you can see, across the Super Bowl 1. Nothing is finished yet at all. And we'll be right back to chat through SUPL 2 and specifically Queen's Park winning the title. Yeah, welcome back. We've now got the SUPL 2 to review. This week, we saw Queen's Park beat Stirling Uni 6-1 to finally claim the SUPL 2 title officially. You know, we've been chatting about it for a while. They're going to be going up. That's been confirmed champions as well. So they've had a pretty impressive season, some great performances. Also, shout out Craig Joyce, I guess. That's his second promotion in 3 years, I think. And one of those years he was in the SUPL 1. Guess he's good at getting promoted. But also, yeah, that's a great team of loads of good players. Congratulations, I suppose, to Queen's Park.
They deserve a lot of credit for how they've gone about things. I mean, same with Montrose last season. Just absolutely smashed everyone. Took to it at the start of the season. They said that was their aim. Their aim was to get promoted, and they just went about it quite comfortably and efficiently.
Yeah, no, another big win, and then Ellie Kane scoring 2 goals as well. Fitting for her, I guess, scored 2 goals, because that's, I don't know what number of goals it is now for it. Must be, well, it is over 20, but how far over 20, I'm not sure. Like, from midfield as well, some player.
Been a crazy season for her. And obviously, it's meant that Abby Callahan's not scored quite as many, but I don't think they'll care. Based on the medal they've now got sat at home somewhere.
I'm not sure they bothered too much about who scored the goals.
It'll be good to see them in SNPL 1. It'll be interesting to see whether they're more of a Montrose, similar to Montrose.
I think they will be a Montrose. I can't see them getting into the top two. The way that Queen's Park as a club is set up, like, pretty ambitious, I would say. You know, once they're there, I can't see them like taking their eye off the ball, presuming that they don't lose absolutely everybody.
Yeah, that's the main thing, isn't it? It's whether or not they can keep those players around. And obviously, being in Glasgow, That's probably the difference between them and Montrose, is that Montrose have the geographic safety of there's only three clubs. You can
Yeah,
play for
we can play
Montrose, you can
everyone.
play for Aberdeen, or you can play for Dundee United.
Yeah.
All, and they just have to be more attractive than one or both of those two.
Those.
Queen's Park have got to compete with, you know, the other four Glasgow clubs.
Plus, like, we've got all the
And
Wigan clubs as well. You know, it's not as if they're like Motherwell and stuff aren't.
yeah, it's going to be a lot harder for them to do it than Montrose did. But it, obviously, the vibes around the club seem really good. And obviously, Craig Joyce is now probably one of the sort of managers that you would look to as going like they're really like up there in terms of their development and ability. So you would assume that quite a lot of them would stay and want to be part of that sort of history at Queen's Park.
I think so. Yeah, I think if you want someone that you can get to kind of one, Craig Joyce isn't a bad person to have. Yeah, in terms of the game though, I guess still at uni, another bad result for them, which is another game we'll talk about, makes it worse. But yeah, Queen's Park just saying it all season, just very efficient, score a lot of goals. You mentioned it, go out of business, no dramas, win the game by a lot of goals, and then get your trophy lift.
They mentioned that they had a nervy start, and obviously they went 1-0 down. I don't think anyone at any point ever thought they weren't going to win the league.
Yeah. I'm pretty confident with that. But then, yeah, speaking of that other result, which is a great feeling uni, is that Glasgow women actually managed to nick a 1-0 win against Kilmarnock, away to Kilmarnock as well, which is very interesting. It's a massive result for them, because that now takes them 4 points clear of Stirling in last place, which is like, I don't know if there's a value on that, but very valuable points for them. You know, as bad as against the team that no one's better to get points against. So to pick up the points there is very impressive, I think.
Going to be interesting, obviously, now that we're into that part of the season now where there's a lot of clubs that are kind of just vibing, they're just playing football
Yeah.
for the fun of it. And I would probably put Kilmarnock in that because they're probably not going to come third, so it's kind of like,
Only 6 points ahead of Livingston, come on.
yeah, but then Thistle, like Birmingham Thistle, Livingston was probably the best dead rubber of all time, and I did 3-all. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, that's
I
true.
think they're all, I don't think they're all like on the beach, but I think there is, you know, it's a difficult time of the season to really motivate yourselves to
Yeah, well,
really put in that extra yard.
So I wonder how Livy feel about that draw, because they'd actually won that game. You know, they'd only be 4 points, I think, behind Killy rather than six. So yeah, you say I think there's a lot of people that are kind of yeah, especially like fourth, fifth, sixth, probably had Killy in there as well, and Livingston in there, sorry, as well, and third are kind of just vibing.
Can't do much, to be fair,
Season.
when Katie McCabe turns up and scores an absolute rock against you.
Yeah, that's true.
Queen's Park are having a party, everyone else is kind of just about, I think, and the
Yeah.
relegation battle, I think, is probably, I don't want to call time, but I feel like it probably is now. Like, I think that it's probably going to finish as is. Dartcairn are
Is.
far enough away that they're probably not going to get dragged back into it.
Yeah.
And I mean, even if they did, like, look at their form. I mean,
Yeah, they'll
if they
get
do
a
get
point.
dragged back into it, it's not going to be for long.
Yeah.
Glasgow Women have picked up enough points to take them out of the automatic spot, and 4 points is, you know, that's a lot. In the context of the season, that's a lot for how few points both have managed to pick up. I mean, that's a quarter of the amount of points that Stirling Uni have picked up all season.
Yeah. Yeah, when you word it like
You know
that,
what
I
I mean?
suppose it's pretty convincing.
Like, it makes it difficult. There's only 5 games to go. There's 15 points left. Some run of form now from Stirling Uni to drag themselves back out of this. They've got to, like, I mean, obviously every team they've got to play is going to be above them, but they've got to play like basically everyone that's in, like, in the top bit of the table, and then also Glasgow Women. So like,
Yeah.
they do have that 6-pointer, and like, you could target that game and say, could they pick up 1 point elsewhere and then get that game? But then
Yeah, I'm not
I just
sure
think
about
Glasgow Women are, I feel like Glasgow Women are also going to pick up points. So it's
that.
kind of like,
Yeah. And then in terms of teams coming up in the championship, Ross Vale absolutely bottled it. All you had to do was get 1 point against Ayr United, currently sitting in second place. They didn't. Ayr United beat them 2-1. They just scored like a 93rd minute to make it 2-1. So you thought might do it again, but they didn't. So that's 2 games in a row. Ross Vale could have won the league, didn't. But they go last game of the season in the championship. 3 points separate Ayr and Ross Vale, but 30 goals difference swing. So I think Ross Vale have to lose, and then Ayr have to win like 20-0 to win the league. So it's
it's
unlikely.
probably not going to happen. It would be really funny, but it probably isn't going to happen.
It would be mental if that happened. And it's not unlikely because it is a championship. Because realistically, Ross Vale could lose like 7-0, and then Ayr only have to win 13-0, which are scorelines
It's
in
not going to
terms of
happen,
who
but
like Glasgow will play in the playoff, presumably Ayr United. That's how that works. And if Ayr United, they're doing well against Ross Vale, and Ross Vale, I would say, are pretty strong. So Ayr United could be a difficult playoff match for Glasgow, and it's always are. So we could see two new teams at the SFPL 2, which again leads the case for expanding the league. Another
We'll probably
conversation.
keep, we'll be banging that drum for a long time. I don't think
Yeah, I think so. I
it
don't think
probably
it's
will
going to
never
happen,
happen.
actually.
is we want an extra four teams. Like, I feel like that, you know, yeah, like, that's the thing. That's is that we're not asking for an extra two, we're asking for an extra four yeah. and a split.
I think that's about right. An alright amount of bad things to ask
the
for.
The problem is more going to be scheduling for that than it is going to be for.
Yeah, well, no, well, list of things we want. Four. We want four games plus a split. We also want sold out stadiums, but also to be very, very loud as well. We also want scoreboards and teams to tweet.
Sorry, I feel like scoreboards and teams tweeting is not a big ask here.
No, I don't think so. But when you add them all together, yeah, I feel
Spartans,
like...
Livingston, you know, yeah. Gartcairn, Glasgow Women, they all manage a scoreboard. Hearts manage a scoreboard as the Hearts TV. It's not a big ask. Even if it just has the score, it doesn't have to have the minutes on it. Just the score would be nice.
Just the score. Yeah.
A vague idea of the minute would be good. Just, you know, for my own general, like, when's halftime? When do, like, or when's the final whistle going to happen so I can put myself out of this misery? Like, you know, just a scoreboard would be nice. Yeah, scoreboards and tweets are not huge. I would say the atmosphere. I'd rather an atmosphere than bigger crowds.
Yeah,
that might be controversial. I think I would care more about
more engaged fans is better than just a lot of fans.
If they sell out that one stand and there's 2,500 people there, but they're all there making noise and giving a shit, I think that's more important than selling out the whole thing and no one caring.
Yeah, because you want to rather going from like 1,000 to 50,000, and next week going back to 1,000, you'd rather have 1,000 that raises to 10,000 or say, and then another 1,000 of them are engaged, so come next week. You know what I mean? So you build engaged fans, which is a hard thing to do for sure. So hopefully they keep going.
Say, the Hearts one might have just been the microphone. It was next to the
just
coaching
slag
teams.
In Hearts based off of no evidence other than maybe a dodgy mic. But
I mean, we went to uni area. Well, we both know that Orium is not all that.
No,
I've given, well, yeah, I've so given you... tours around Orium. I know for a fact that it's not that great.
Yeah, well. Lots of action, as you can tell, happened this weekend across SCPL 1 and SCPL 2. Loads more games coming up, and we'll be right back to preview a host of them. Okay, welcome back, everyone. Now I've got to look forward to the coming games in SCPL 1 and SCPL 2. As you'll be aware, there would have been a whole host of fixtures on Wednesday night. We recorded on Tuesday, comes out on Thursday, so we're not ignoring them, but there's not so much we can chat about for them. But as a whole range of fixtures there was, and we'll review the results of them next week. You know, it's just time. It's how it works. Looking forward from where we are now, as you're listening on Thursday morning to this coming weekend, the 21st of April is 6 games in the SCPL 1 and 4 games in the SCPL 2. Whole host fixtures as usual. Plenty of TV action. First one I wanted to pick out was Celtic v Hearts, as that one is being played at Celtic Park. Despite no the Celtic end, the game still happens, so that's fun.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah,
well, just because
some Celtic fans were like, "Oh my god, you can't have Celtic again. We
a bunch
must
of fake,
just boycott the club." Yeah,
a bunch of fake hard men in balaclavas aren't having everything like given to them on a plate, so they're having a hissy fit and not going.
Yeah, actually had the standing section also available. So
we said this at the time, like you can still go to the game.
Yeah, just simply you actually for any Celtic fans listening who haven't bought a ticket yet. If you're a season ticket holder, you can get 10 tickets for free.
Yeah,
get all 10 and take your pass.
That's what I mean. It's one of those. I think it's like such a stupid thing. But that's what we're saying is like, I would rather them not be there then. If they don't care, if they don't care to go, if they're not being invited to not be invited and still go. I don't think that's beneficial to the long-term future of Scottish Women's football if they're at the game, because they're not going to care.
I do think the second it's back weird.
Excelsior.
Yeah, I do think it was weird for Celtic to put their foot down on that so hard, but they've been back and forth with fans all year for whatever reason. But for the supporters groups then go, well, we're not going to come then, is a wee bit, you've kind of just shown up to yourself there that you were not going for the game at all. You were going for your own agenda, which isn't ideal.
They don't turn up at the Excelsior, and this is something that I know it's difficult to get to in Airdrie. If the Old Firm is happening at the Excelsior, or you're playing Glasgow City, or Hearts, or Hibs, or any other big game at the Excelsior, you just don't go.
You can make it up again whenever you want. Just buy the ticket. It's £1 or whatever. They're not expensive. The ones at the park, like, there's no reason they're in at the end. If they get, say, you can get 10 tickets for free, there's like 40,000 ticket holders. In theory, that's like, what, 400,000 tickets?
No, yeah, it's just one of those. I think that we're, as I say, maybe it's not like how everyone else thinks, and that's fine. You can think differently, whatever. But I just think that we're better off without people that are only going to go as like a statement to their club, because that's what it was. And, you know,
Yeah, but again, I'm pretty confident for Celtic to win that game anyway, but.
yeah, I mean, it's probably quite strategic that you've picked the Hearts game, I think, because I think at the Excelsior, I think that would be a difficult game with how good they are defensively.
Yeah, you make it a
But
massive pitch and then,
taking them to a bigger pitch, it becomes a much more difficult task for the underdog to get anything out of it. And they're going to be missing Kathleen McGovern, because that was a straight
yeah,
red.
which is,
So yeah, you've got the form of Amy Gallagher and
yeah.
just the general Celtic form. I think it was always going to be a difficult task. I just think that you're putting a Hearts team that are so compact and really good defensively, but then you put them onto a bigger pitch and a huge atmosphere, and it
Yeah.
all, you know, it's all of a sudden it becomes a much bigger job.
I'm pretty confident. I'm actually pretty confident in CDQ and Celtic in general to win the league, to be honest with you. But that's for a later podcast as we get closer towards the end.
What was it you said to me the other day about her and Fran? That if she was in at the start of the season, you'd have won the treble or something like
Yeah. You're just trying to get me clipped as well. That is it. If we had to think of a start, we would have the draw. Or if Fran hadn't just shafted us and left at a random time that forced her to take her first game in a cup game. But I just think she's way more pragmatic about things and just like, it's not just launch getting hate up there. It's launch getting hate up there, but in a nice way.
think it's the exact. I do not see how it's different with the
Well,
hit and hit stuff, but
hopefully
you know, well, it is like, man, I'll send this clip to Houston Dash for when they sack Fran in about a week.
not. There
You
you
can
go.
swap, you can get Fran back.
Anyway, moving on from that game, another big game in the league, looking towards the bottom of the table. Akito versus Spartans. That game's at 4 o'clock kickoff from the ZenElec Stadium in Hamilton.
The what?
The ZenElec. How
What
many
language
points
does
do
it
you get for
call
playing
that?
Scrabble? Jeez, I don't know what they changed, but apparently it's all the ZenElec Stadium now. But there you
Well, we
go.
need to stop calling it a Tony Macaroni as well, don't we? It's now
It's not Tony Mac, it's I don't know what team that is now,
R
but it's the end of the
is it
season.
was
Next season
it
it
changes
changes,
from
yeah.
next season. It's some taxi company, I think.
Anyway, off script. Actually, Spartans. That's
Anyway.
a big game because I mentioned Spartans were only 6 points away, not in amazing form. If Aki's beat them, it's 3 points only between them, which isn't super comfortable for anybody. So it's
Well,
a
I'll build.
bigger game for Spartans, I think, to be honest. But
Well, more importantly for Accu, it would take them off the bottom of the table.
that's true. It would, yeah,
And I
get away from
think
it finally.
no matter what happens, like a point, I think, would take them off the bottom of the table
Yeah, I think
this
so.
week. But saying all that, tomorrow they play Dundee United. So potentially everything we say in the next 10 minutes is going to be totally pointless because
That's true. In terms of league positionings, don't pay much attention because there was games on this Wednesday that we've not been able to
yeah. So
cover.
they might talk. They might. The Dundee United game is going to be the important one. If they win that game, and then also beat Spartans, I think, to be fair, they could probably. At that point, they might leapfrog Spartans.
Yeah, Spartans are a hard game as well, so could see how that goes, yeah. Interestingly.
Yeah, Spartan. So it could end up being like a it could be a really big game. I do still think that Spartans are going to be okay, but yeah,
Yeah,
it's
depending on how those midweek fixtures have gone, this weekend might be even bigger than even we're talking about right now.
quite dependent on what happens tomorrow.
Yes. Yesterday.
Yesterday, well, yeah, tomorrow for us, yesterday for you.
Yeah.
So yeah, it'll obviously be, it was one of those, and it's just going to be relying on a few things. But I think in that, as a matchup, I think the Spartans still have the upper hand. But then it's just going to, as we say, it's the problem is going to really be like where their head's at, because like I obviously Jack Beasley's been quite vocal in talking about how they are in a relegation. But
Yeah.
if that is getting through to them, is it maybe negatively impacting them? You know,
Possibly.
they could be second guessing themselves now. It's tough to see because obviously we're looking from the outside in. We're not in the environment. So, but they've got the quality for sure. It's just a case of putting it together on the pitch.
This weekend as well, another big game kind of wanted to highlight was Hibs v Glasgow City. That game is going to be live via Hibs. Hopefully they've got a scoreboard. But that's midweek, how the midweek fixtures goes. It's going to be quite interesting to see how that impacts the league and things like that. I think Hibs are a bit of a banana skin potentially for City.
We have commentary usually on.
Yeah,
I'm assuming by Hibs TV it means YouTube, not actual Hibs TV.
presumably. Yeah, Hibs YouTube live via Hibs.
Yeah. On the Hibs YouTube, there's the commentator. There's a scoreboard. There's a clock.
Beautiful.
Luxury. It's because we're a
Big
big
club,
team.
big club. Yeah, that's fine.
We don't play at a university training facility. No, it's, yeah, it'll be interesting that like Glasgow City very much give off like, you know, they're the sort of wounded deer at the moment. Like, it's going to be interesting to see whether or not this is the time to play them. Obviously, there's a game in between, but even then, this is still the time to play them, coming off of the back of probably being knocked out of the title race.
Yeah, they're
Saying
pretty
that,
smart themselves, yeah.
Hearts could get something off of Rangers quite comfortably. That's a thing
Yeah,
that could happen.
and
We
Hibs could get something off Celtic, yeah.
we could take something off Celtic. Part of Thistle could get absolutely annihilated by Glasgow City.
Yeah.
So, you know,
Yeah.
stuff might happen on
Yeah, all this
Thursday,
analysis is
but
kind of irrelevant given whatever happened on during the week, yeah.
yeah. But if things go as expected, and you know, Rangers beat Hearts and Celtic beat us and City beat
Rangers
Part
beat
of
them, yeah.
Thistle, then you're going into this game, we should be looking for revenge, because we're looking at a string of bad performances. And they'll be sort of thinking, oh, well, we're out of the race,
Yeah, and if you're talking about
sort of
sort of
things.
like Brad Scott's ambition to get City Hibs back into that top three where they used to be, and then also, as I mentioned, about City being potentially vulnerable, this is the kind of game for Grant Scott to probably comes too early in terms of that wider ambition of Grant Scott. But it's like a potential opportunity for him to kind of showcase that like, this is where we're going to get to, and if they can beat City, it's like a would be a major kind
Yeah.
of
I
stake.
mean, the big problem is going to be the injuries list at Hibs is
Yeah.
getting a bit ridiculous. Leah Eddy will still miss the game. She was in a boot, you know, crutches, a bit worrying. So
Not ideal.
I don't expect her to play again this season. Hopefully she'll be back at the start of next season. I mean, this is a side point, a totally separate thing. We do need to start having, like, at some point, a conversation needs to be had about the number of injuries at Scotland, because this is ridiculous. I guess I said this last week. It's
Yeah.
crazy.
Maybe we'll chat about that more next week with more time, but
But obviously Rosie Livingston's back now, so that'll be interesting. Abby Ferguson, she's been back and in training for a little bit, but in and out, so I don't know if she'll be fit enough to sort of have much impact on the game. But those are the kind of players that Hibs are missing. So if they are back, then that could be huge, especially in against a Glasgow City team that, as we've said, are struggling in midfield. When you look at Hibs midfield, even if Michaela Makelone is still injured, that's a strong midfield. You know, Ellis Notley, Shannon McGregor, Rosie Livingston could come into it. You know, there's the back three where, you know, Poppy Lawson's very comfortable coming into midfield and making a difference. So like it'll be one where I think where our strengths lie is where Glasgow City's are a little bit more deficient. So we could see a bit of a, not an upset, because we've beat them plenty of times, but you know, a statement in terms of where the future of Hibs is going, and where we think Glasgow City are at anyway, because you know, we've discussed it already. This isn't the end of the world for them, but if teams start smelling blood in the water, then there's going to be a concern, because like it wouldn't, I don't think, you know, it's not unimaginable that Hibs and Hearts start sniffing around.
Yeah, looking across the league this weekend as well, we've got other games. We've got Dundee United hosting Aberdeen, which derby kind of. We've also got, as mentioned, Accrington Spartans, Hibs City, Motherwell are hosting Montrose. They're back to K Park, Athlebride. And we also have Part Thistle v Rangers. And Part Thistle v Rangers is going to be live via the BBC online player as well, which is always fun to watch as a 1 o'clock kickoff for that one. So plenty of football. Moving on anyway to the SUPL 2. As you know, Queen's Park has been crowned champions, but that does not mean football stops. Teams keep playing because there's loads more to play for. A couple of big games in the kind of race promotion. Kind of mentioned that it's seeming like Kilmarnock are pretty comfortable, 6 points clear, but given they just lost to Glaswomen, they are playing Stirling Uni this weekend, potentially lose another team like that. And then on the other side of that, Livingston are playing St Johnstone. So, you know, opportunity for a bit of a 6 point swing and give Livingston only 2 points behind Kilmarnock in that race for second place. So, still, that's definitely not over at all. Strange things have happened at the SUPL 2 for sure.
Definitely. I do think it would be a bit of a long shot. I think, if anything, I don't think St Johnstone are up to much, but I think it's still more likely for them to beat Livingston than it would be for Stirling Uni to beat Kilmarnock. I just think, like, we've spoken about before, Stirling Uni are always going to have a unique problem that they're going to have to deal with. And I just think that we are now at a point where that unique problem is too much. And it's just going to be that it's going to be really tough for them to stay in a league that's getting more and more and more professional. And a lot of players are falling into from SWPL 1 as more and more foreign players come into SWPL 1.
And I think they
That
like that the link
means.
up perfectly with, because I wonder if people remember when I spoke, or people remember from our conversation with the SWF Championship that, you know, the Championship do look as like a kind of springboard for players' careers and a development place. That's what Stirling's aim as a club is to develop players. So, you know, it makes sense to develop a player, development team, and development style league. It's obviously a competitive league, but, you know, they speak about it as a like stomping grounds to make your mark in the Scottish game.
Yeah, I think, you know, they say that's probably where they'll find themselves. And I mean, I don't think that it's outside the realms of possibility that they come back up in the future. I just think that SOBL 2 has gotten better and better every season, like when it comes to the level of player. And I think it just becomes really difficult to be sustainable in that.
Yeah.
Stirling Uni have obviously got better and better as well, but to become sustainable in that when your best player is leaving every season.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just a lot for them to deal with. And yeah, especially, and then on top of that, they are also playing Bucks, which I do think probably has quite a big impact on them.
No, it definitely wouldn't have been. And then even just like the mental load, if you need it, even if you're not playing in the Bucks games directly, like the club at some level is focused on that game till the Wednesday, and then they've got to go over to the weekend game, and hard to kind of keep the focus. But yeah, elsewhere in the SUPL 2, also got Cairn taking on Burnley Thistle, which is kind of a nothing game, so I'm expecting it to end like 4-3. Yeah.
Their last one was that 3-3, so like,
yeah.
You know, I'm wanting goals. I want Katie McCabe to score on the screamer because I think it's really funny.
Yeah.
I just like I hate the Sam Kerr jokes.
But I love the Katie McCabe ones.
Well, it's because people always talk about it as the Scottish Sam Kerr and how like Australian Sam Kerr is so much better than her. But Birmingham Thistle Katie McCabe is better than Ireland Katie McCabe. So
yeah, bang on
we have the superiority there.
Yep.
Because SOBL 2 is better than WSL.
Yeah, and another game there as well, the Glasgow Men v Queen's Park, which not great for Stirling Uni. Who obviously got beat off Queen's Park in a title match. Now Queen's Park got a week to celebrate. Probably go out to lose because women now, which even further cements what uni is.
Or it'll be a real party and they'll win like heavily because they're like on a massive high.
Yeah, we'll see on the weekend, won't we? But yeah, SCPL 2, there's loads going on.
That is how the future works.
Yeah, that is how the future works. And the past, as you've dealt with today, a lot of timey-wimey stuff. Yeah, the SCPL 2 has got loads going on. Even though Queen's Park have won the league, it definitely, nothing is finalised just yet. So definitely keep an eye out for them, and lots of fun games to attend to, lots of fun games to watch on TV.
What's Kilmarnock win now and Livingston lose and it basically be everything
yeah, and then
be sorted by
come up with
week.
Some fun way of G-ing up this league for people to watch. Yeah. But yeah,
well, next week will be even better because we'll both be sat down on actual chairs.
Yes, hopefully in person for once. Yeah, that'd be nice. You know, we'll wait with bated breath for that podcast. Yeah. But yeah, unfortunately, that's all we've really got time for today. As you mentioned, there's so much going on in SAPL. It's really hard to cover it all. But hopefully, we've given you a good breakdown of what's happened, what's coming. Hopefully, you can enjoy the games that happened yesterday, Wednesday night, and the games that are coming up this weekend. And me and Matt will be back again next week to cover all things SUPL 1, SUPL 2. As always, make sure you've got your notifications on for the podcast and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Hadridge_. I've been Peter, I've been joined by Matt, and this again has been the Hadridge Podcast.